with this gospel passage from Mark is really problematic, because it sounds like a self-induced, self-constructed neurosis, an inferiority complex. And it could be read that way, I suppose. But I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind somehow. He was not purveying neuroses. Can you hear me, Paul? Okay. So, what are we to make of this? Whoever wants to be first must be the servant of all. Okay. I'll try harder, Marco. So, what does it mean to be the servant of all? It certainly means to displace one's ambition, because we all want to be first. And this passage can be read to the passage from James too. Everybody wanting to be first creates chaos. You know? You want something, you don't have it, because all those people out there want it too, and I want to be first in line. Fooey on them. Well, the problem that Jesus addresses here, as he addressed every place, is not simple arrogance, a disease which is terminal for some of us, but rather it is destructive of our living together. We cannot live together with too many chiefs and so few Indians. You know, we cannot do it. So it's the bond between people he's concerned about. And if one can legitimately and honestly say to myself, I really want to be the servant. You talk about servant leadership, but I've seen very few instances of it, frankly. And anybody who's worked in a factory, in schools, in university, even in the house, we know this terrible competition for priority. I want to be first. I want to be first. Mom always loved you more than me. Ever hear that? Well, I have an orphan child. He's not a child anymore. He says that regularly. You always love the other ones more than you love me. And of course, it's profoundly disruptive. It destroys any possibility of genuine bonds between people. So that's why Jesus is talking about, consider yourself the servant of all, the least of all. And a few minutes of introspection, I think, reveals, at least it does for me, Trojak, you're a fraud. In many ways, you are a fraud. You're supposed to be the servant of all, and you're the boss. I mean, the hierarchy of the Roman Church, I would love to hear what their response to this passage is, you know. They would not be happy, I don't think, or they would gabble it away somehow, moderate it, ameliorate it in some way. So it's always a question of human relationships that is crucial, that is pivotal, that is the source of life. Because if you look at that litany that James provides, or the simple description from Mark, that who wants to be first must be the servant of all. I mean, that's a recipe for community. And you don't have to be fraudulent about this. A few minutes of introspection, which would reveal all this egocentricity that drives us so often, so fiercely. But you can't have bosses all over the place. And we should see in the example of the recent history, Hitler was the boss, Mao Zedong is the boss, Bashar al-Assad is the boss, Donald Trump is undoubtedly the boss, if you heard any of his rhetoric. My God, it's ferocious. I can do anything, and all these people are stupid and fools. And I'm not making that up. That's his standard rhetoric. And what kind of community is he going to build? I'm a billionaire. I can do anything I bloody well want. All those peons over there, I can fire them. Well, I think we've all probably been in situations where we have a surfeit of bosses. And all you want to say is, get off my back and let me live. But it grows from the tiniest group in the world, the family. Sibling rivalry, folks, sounds familiar to you? Well, I grew up in a storm of sibling rivalry. We all hated each other, as a matter of fact. And the reason for hating each other was very simple. She got something that I didn't get. You always liked her best. I have two sisters. So it has to be a she. So this is what we're called to. Not some phony humility. Oh, poor me. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I don't know anything. Oh, please help me. I mean, we've all run into that kind of creepiness. It's not salutary, it's destructive, because it's phony. Okay, so you might take some time after Mass to reflect on where you have been the boss, and make sure you were the boss, or were you looking for other people who were the boss, and you knew very well that you were not the boss, and the effect, how that ripples out into the world. Principals, presidents, deans, all kinds of people. Lusting for bosshood. Well, first of all, it bespeaks a profound ignorance of oneself, I believe. That's why I suggest a few minutes of introspection. And is utterly toxic to the creation of the human family. Won't do it, won't work. History is replete with the example of the destructive power of power. Lord Acton had it exactly right. Remember, he was one of the few Catholic lords in the House of Parliament when the Declaration of Papal Infallibility, which Newman fiercely opposed, said that power tends to corrupt. Absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. And the corruption consists of what? Of the breakdown of human connections. It's very simple. Go into any classroom on the campus. I taught there for 42 years. It was not particularly edifying experience a good part of the time. As little mini bosses were running around stealing each other's assignments or doing all manner of nefarious things. So, it's not a command for some pseudo self-degradation. It's not that at all. It's an invitation to introspection and the direction to the healing of our brokenness and our broken world and broken connections.